Good morning. Thank you for coming and returning to the practice of coming to Sunday school after a week off last week. You may have remembered this with the weather a week ago, but it was almost exactly 3 years ago when this happened, and it led to the cancellation of our Sunday school organization, Sunday school class, 3 years ago. So we have experienced this before, but 3 years ago we were actually coming back not just from a week off, but from a two-year time period where we're in the same classes. COVID didn't have Sunday school for quite a long time, so we don't have to worry about nearly as much today. And you may be here visiting with us this morning. Maybe you're only able to be here occasionally, or you've never been here. You're visiting for the first time. If that's the case, we certainly want to extend you a very warm welcome. And just let you know that we want you to stay, but you'll have to bear with us as we have a little bit of a family time this morning to try to get organized for our Sunday school ministry this year. So I've used this illustration before, but there's plenty of food ahead of us as the Lord tarries in Sunday school this year, but most of what we do today is just getting the table set. But for most civilized people, setting the table is a really good thing before you try to eat. So thank you for your patience. Again, we're glad that you are here. Well, our purposes today are to consider why we have Sunday school. We try to remind ourselves of that every January and keep that vision in mind. We'll overview our teaching topics just briefly and then look at the class structure, where they are, who's leading, teaching, etc. And spend a decent bit of our time doing that, and then try to position ourselves to launch our new classes in 3 weeks. I'm going to say this now, and Lord willing, remember to say this at the end, but because of canceling last week, our new classes will start not the first week of February, but the second week, so that's February 9th, and that'll give us the same amount of time as usual to try to get organized. Decided that that would be better than trying to rush and fit everything in just 2 weeks. And it also gives us the opportunity to hear Dr. Talbert over 2 weeks as originally planned. So again, we'll start these classes officially, Lord willing, in 3 weeks on February 9th. Okay, I think that's enough of a preliminary. Why don't we ask for the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump in. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have set aside this day for your delight and for us to delight in you and in what delights you. We thank you for the rich privilege it is to be counted among your people, to be part of your Son's bride. Thank you, O Lord, for one another. We pray that you would providentially work out every detail of our choices and of our Sunday school cycle this year. And we pray that you would help us to grow in our understanding and our grace-enabled, Spirit-empowered ability to provoke, to be provoked in our own souls, and to be able to graciously prod one another to love and good works. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that it would be central in all of our thinking, even today. And we ask for your help during this time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you turn in your Bible? We're going to spend just a moment, really, looking at a couple of verses in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. it may seem initially a little strange to think of the Sunday school ministry of a New Testament church in terms of an Old Testament psalm. But I have come to really glory in the truth that David pens here at the outset of this psalm. Because it seems, at least for me, to really shed light on the truth that we exist to glorify God and that our relationships with one another, our fellowship with one another, is a significant part of how He intends to glorify Himself in our lives. I'll read just the first three verses, Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in You. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good besides You. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. We're not going to take long because we have other things that in God's providence we need to accomplish this morning. But it really is remarkable that God, through the pen of David, inspires these words, and I'm thinking particularly of verses 2 and 3 in conjunction with one another. In verse 2, David says what is expressed in other places in the Psalms. Asaph, for instance, at the end of Psalm 73, says something almost identical. You are my Lord, I have no good besides You. This reminds us that this church exists for the glory of God. That we have to understand everything about ourselves individually and collectively in terms of how He's revealed Himself and in terms of what His purposes are. And we have to trust that His glory is also our greatest good. Those two realities are not at odds with one another. Our true good and His true glory are never at odds. And what's instructive, I think, in particular for us as we consider ourselves as a church, as the body of Christ here locally, that David then, again, these are the inspired words of God, proceeds to say in verse 3 that as for the saints, the holy ones, the ones set apart by God, by His grace in salvation, that those in the earth are the ones in whom all His delight. They are the majestic ones. Now, I don't know how majestic you feel this morning. We might kind of scratch our head if you came up and greeted us and say, I'm feeling rather majestic today. How are you? I'm not suggesting that that's the new Mount Calvary greeting, just for the record. But the reality is that by God's grace, because He is great and good, those whom He has favored and who have turned to Him in repentance and faith really are saints, really are the majestic ones. And David says, they're the ones in whom it are all my delight. These two realities are not in contradiction with one another. And so for us as Mount Calvary Baptist Church to glorify God, it will mean, among other things, it will mean our taking true delight in other redeemed and yet still sinful people like ourselves, with whom we've covenanted together, with whom we gather to worship. And our Sunday school ministry really is an attempt to take a relatively large congregation and to subdivide it into groups that can minister to one another and really take delight in one another on a level that isn't as possible, okay, in terms of hundreds of people just gathering together for services. And before we move on, I'll just note one other thing. You may have already thought about this, but this Psalm 16 ends with clearly messianic words. These words about not undergoing decay, about not being abandoned to Sheol, those are words the New Testament clearly identifies as being ultimately from our Lord, the Messiah. And so it's really a delight even to think about this psalm in that light, that actually our fellowship with one another is fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He has claimed us as his brothers and sisters. Hebrews 2 talks about his leading us in worship. And so this is not a peripheral matter. This is actually something that lies right at the heart of our Savior himself. We have purposes in relation to our Sunday school ministry that really run along two complementary tracks. One of those is our teaching, and we'll come to that just momentarily. And the other are a set of biblical priorities that enable us to function together, again, in somewhat smaller groups as part of a larger congregation. Years ago, our leadership decided on these biblical priorities for our Sunday school ministry and structure. And so I want to note those again this year. Our Sunday school exists to facilitate our elders' pastoral ministry to our people. Every one of these classes has, almost every one of them has two elders. And those elders are there to shepherd. There is administration. There is teaching involved in these classes, of course. But there's shepherding. And it is their desire to shepherd all of us, to have contact with, meaningful contact with every household, whether that household consists of one or ten. And so that's a really significant part of our Sunday school ministry. Secondly, the corollary to that is that it's aimed to facilitate your relationship to those elders, to foster that. Thirdly, to facilitate our diaconal leadership, this service-oriented ministry that is so significant. We'll talk about our deacons as well this morning. Fourthly, to provide for the spiritual development of us all and for increased opportunities for our service. You may feel sometimes like in a congregation of hundreds of people, all of the slots are already filled. But whether in formal or often informal ways, our Sunday school ministry provides opportunity for us to pray for one another. There are too many requests in this church for any one person to pray for all of those, at least to know about all of those. I don't want to undercut maybe what some of you do, but probably for any one of us to pray for every week. But in our Sunday school class, In a smaller setting, there is a wonderful opportunity for ministry, particularly through prayer, and for serving one another. And finally, we find opportunities of spiritual fellowship in smaller formats. In fact, I think, if my eyes didn't mistake me, there were people bringing in food today for a Sunday school fellowship. So even though we're on the cusp of a new year, we're still enjoying the old year and our old classes, and that's a wonderful thing. And so those kind of fellowships really are important. So this fellowship, this ministry opportunity, this prayer, this example to one another, all of those things are very significant in terms of why we have a Sunday school. It's not just a tip of the hat to tradition. And I hope that I hope that we'll be renewed in our enjoyment of Sunday school, in our sense that we really can minister and need to try, by God's grace, to minister to the other people in these classes. Let me talk momentarily about our teaching emphases for this year. In the spring, we're going to focus our time on this topic, and that is the church, with this title, whose builder and foundation is Christ. That wording, in part, is taken, of course, from Matthew 16:18, where upon the confession that Peter made of Jesus as the divine Messiah, Christ says, "You're Peter, and more significantly, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. They'll not overpower it." What a wonderful promise. Just think of this language. Again, we don't consider ourselves the majestic ones. But consider this language that God revealed through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets," in other words, the foundation of Christ, the divine Savior, "and our belief in Him that the apostles laid through their preaching and their writing of Scripture. This foundation has Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into the dwelling of God in the Spirit." That's not what God did in the first century only. That's what God is doing today. And the first step toward our realizing that in practice, as an assembly, is to believe what God has revealed. We have to believe these words. We're not going to often feel like the grandeur of verses like this. But this is what God has revealed. This is what God is doing. He has chosen to magnify Himself in this way. He could have done it other ways from our perspective. But His wisdom is put on spectacular display, how? Ephesians 3:10, through the church. And to shift biblical metaphors from the house and structural metaphor to that of marriage, you could say this, one author has said this: God most vividly expresses His beautiful love to sinful creatures. Think of our pastor's exhortation to us over the last couple of years to keep ourselves in the love of God. He most vividly expresses this beautiful love to sinful creatures by selecting a bride for Christ that she too might beam with the same beauty as her bridegroom. We need to believe that. That is what God has revealed. And that takes not just coming and listening to preaching, though everything flows out of the pulpit in a word-centered ministry. That requires us coming and fitting together and growing up together and having joys and sorrows together and learning to forgive one another, etc. And so that will be our focus, Lord willing, this spring. Why is what Christ is building so important? And how has He and how will He be building it as long as He tarries? In the summer and fall, then, we'll actually be working through a series focused on Israel's wilderness wanderings when the people of God were young. And so we'll get the first third or so of that series in the summer, and then after our typical break in August, return to it in September for the duration of the year. you're familiar with these words in 1 Corinthians 10. Now, these things happened to them as an example. These things, like the things we're going to give consideration in the summer and fall, these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. There's a lot of instruction for us in 2025 from these passages in Exodus and Numbers particularly. So that will be our teaching focus, Lord willing, for the majority of this year. Okay, now, thank you for listening. The moment you've actually been waiting for, I'm not immune, I'm not ignorant of this. I've been informed of it even this morning. All right, the ushers are going to come and put a handout in your hands, and we'll look over the structure of our classes for this year. All right, so as your attention is drawn to that, I'm going to keep talking and remind us that one basic aspect of our Sunday school structure is that we are trying to maintain a relative parallel structure among these classes. They all have elders, deacons, multiple teachers, almost all of them. They are, by design, intergenerational and intercategorical. Okay, we really want these Sunday school classes to be a cross-section, as it were, of our congregation. So we do focus on certain groups in our church, and I'll come to that a little bit later. But we're really hoping that in God's providence, as He directs your choices, that we will have multiple generations, various vantage points represented in all of these classes. And so that they really are a microcosm of the church at large. Okay, your handout, thank you, brethren, for doing that for us. As they put that in your hands, if I can direct your attention, all right, to this shaded area. Sorry, you don't have a color version. But the shaded version kind of in the middle of your sheet, okay, and make a couple of comments about our Word of Life class. You know, those of you who were here last January know that we began in February of 2024 a transition of what we had been doing for about 20 years in our neighborhood Bible class, a transition to a Word of Life Sunday school class. And I'm really grateful for both the leadership of that class as well as all of the folks who are part of that class in proclaiming the Word of Life in a welcoming evangelistic fellowship. This is not a singular, this is not a solitary ministry that's part of our, just happens to be part of our church. It's integrated into our church, and it's a very significant link to other ministries in our church. And we actually have folks that are part of the Word of Life class here with us this morning. So I'm going to just pause. If you're part of the Word of Life class, and you attended that last year, could you just raise your hand? Just raise it real high. Okay. So we've got quite a few over here. Thank you. You can put those down. This class is unique in a couple of ways. One of those is that it doesn't have open enrollment. And I want to just explain that again. The reason for that is the class needs to be relatively small. And so we have folks that are committed to being in that class, and so that class isn't open as the other classes are for enrollment. But I want to follow that up by saying this: there are ways that you can participate in the ministry of this class. And I want to highlight two. The first of those is to pray, that you would pray for the Spirit's success in our Word of Life class. And as you walk in the doors, maybe you come in the south lobby. Many of us do. I technically don't. Many of you do. You come in the south lobby. And maybe as you see the Sunday school class there, it's the first one off the lobby there, rooms 105 and 106, that it would just bring your mind to pray for the Lord's good work in that class. The second thing would be that you would invite people to come and participate in that class. And that class, some of our folks are from nearby here in our neighborhoods, but some are not. And we hope that it will be a good landing spot for people who want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ from His Word, and who want to come to know more about Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Maybe they're not as familiar with us. And so I would encourage you really to make that a matter of concern, of prayer and invitation. Okay, I'm about to start working through these classes, and I'll introduce the elders and deacons and teachers, but I do want to say a couple of things before we start with class one, all right? The first of those is this. Though I'm going to ask the men who are elders, our church officers, elders and deacons, and then our Sunday school teachers, all right, I'm going to ask them to stand, okay? I think you know this, and you'll see some of these folks in these photos, but I think you realize many of these folks are, many of these men are supported by a godly wife, and those ladies are integral to our Sunday school ministry. So I thought about asking you ladies to stand. I decided against it, that maybe you wouldn't necessarily want to do that, but I want to make sure that that I do emphasize how appreciative we are for the ministry that you have. Many of you have benefited from, for example, a deacon's wife who has coordinated meals, maybe babysat, done a number of things to serve the body of Christ. I also want to mention one other thing, and it's fallen to me to do this, and I'm grateful for that because it gives me a chance to really express a word of appreciation. But we have one of our longtime elders who is retiring at the end of this month. And so if you're looking for his name on the sheet and wondering why it's not there, that was not an oversight. Now, if I left another elder off, that was an oversight. but there's no message being sent here. But in 1984, okay, some of you are good at math and some of you are at least decent at math. You can do the math. 1984, that was 40 years ago last year. 1984, Brother Gene Merkel came onto our elder board. And many of you have been in his Sunday school class over the years. Many others of you have received ministry, have interacted with him. And so I just wanted to, I didn't know if he'd be able to be here today. He is. But I just wanted to make sure that we acknowledged with deep gratitude the ministry of this brother. He has served the Lord well. And if I can speak on his behalf, I think this is okay. He can flag me down if I'm not saying the right thing, but they're not going anywhere. And they'll be here serving among us and worshiping with us. I'm really grateful for that we'll receive their ministry ongoingly. But as far as official responsibilities as an elder, Brother Merkel let us know last year that he knew the Lord's mind regarding that. And so we do want to express our deep gratitude to him. And that is one of the reasons, hasn't been stated, but that's one of the reasons why we knew that it really would be important for us to consider one and actually two new elders. And of course, they'll be part of these Sunday school classes in those new roles. Okay, so brethren, if you would stand, if your picture is up on the screen, not all of these families were able to be here today. But here's class one. It'll meet here in the auditorium. So if you're a elder deacon teacher in class one, would you stand? Okay, don't be bashful. All right. So we have Dr. Bruce Arnold, one of our elders, and Brother Gary Santiago in the back. That's they're balanced, you know, opposite ends of the auditorium here. There are two elders. Our deacons are Brother Michael Shadell is here in the back middle. Brother Mike Johnson over there by the pillar halfway back to your left is a second deacon. And Stephen Lemp is not able to be here today, but he's our third deacon. And then we got several teachers. You see in the spring, Dr. Randy Leedy back there by Brother Johnson. In the summer, Dr. Rajesh Gandhi, who's in the back on your left, and Brother Jordan Smith over here on the right will be co-teaching. And in the fall, Dr. Alan Patterson. All right. Thank you, brethren. You can be seated. So that's class one, and that will meet here in the auditorium. Okay? Ready to move on? Class two. This is room 203. You say, What is 203? Fireplace room, okay? Does that help? If you're an elder deacon teacher in one of these classes, would you stand? So our two elders are Dr. Brian Collins down here and Brother Michael West in the middle. Our deacons are Brother Josh Rush is over here on the far right and Brother Phil Stair here in the middle. And then teachers, we've got Dr. Collins teaching in the spring, Dan Schaffner over here, halfway back on the right in the summer, and Dr. David Kahn, a little bit behind him in the fall. Thank you, men. You can be seated. And I'll just note, as Pastor Rush mentioned on Wednesday evening, many of you were here, or maybe you caught it on live stream, but in our congregational business meeting on January 29th, we will be voting on Brother Dan Schaffner as a deacon, so we can be in prayer about that. And so we'll do that in a week and a half now. Okay, that's class two. All right, class three. I've already talked about the Word of Life class, but if you all could stand, you men could stand. We'll make sure that these folks are identified. We've got Brother Chris Baker here as our elder, and Brother Al Ellison behind him, and Anthony Griffith further back are our deacons. Brother John Crocker is not able to be here today, but John is our primary teacher there for the Word of Life class. Really appreciate these men and the work that they have done and will do. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, class four. This is the class that meets in the primary room of the music suite, room 104. So if you men could stand, we've got Dr. David Boyd, who will also be teaching in the spring. He's one of our elders, and then one of our new elders, Brother Randy Smith. He's out of town. He actually scheduled his out-of-town trip so that he could be here last week. And then we moved on him. So I appreciate his effort. But he let me know that they are out of town today. But there are two elders. You've got Brother David Rogers back here in the middle as one of our deacons. And then one of our new deacons, Brother Paul Steffensmeyer, right here toward the front in the middle is our other deacon. Dr. Boyd teaching in the spring. Brother Ben Davis up here on your left. Teaching in the fall, and then to be announced there in the summer. Okay? Got all of those in mind. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. That's class four. This is class 5, and this is the one that meets in Boyd Hall. And so we'll have these leaders stand. We've got Brother Doug Becker all the way back in the on the left. And with him, our other new elder, Brother Benson Quattlebaum, up here in the middle. Our deacons, Brother Sven Luffler, who's not able to be with us today, but Sven's another one of our new deacons, and then Brother David Lowry, who's way up high, up there in the AV booth. Thank you, David. And then our teachers, we have Tom Parr, who's back here on your right in the spring. We'll have a couple of teachers in the summer. David Lowry, one of our deacons, and then Patrick Watson, who's not, he's here. He's just helping down with college and career this morning. And they'll be teaching in the summer, and then another, our other to be announced there in the fall. Okay, so that's class 5. You may be seated. Thank you very much. They're in Boyd Hall. Okay, and last but not least, class 6. This is in room 202. Would you say, where is that? That's the room closest to us, except for the auditorium in which we are. Right across, sometimes we call it the teen choir room. But that is room 202. This is class 6. So if those leaders could stand. Our two elders are K and K. So hopefully that will be helpful, not confusing. Brother Paul Keck here on the left, and Brother Dick Kelly in the middle toward the right. Those are our elders, our deacons, Brother Joel Frederick up here in the, on the right, and then Brother Stephen Stokes a little farther back on the right. And our teachers, Neil Scroggett. This is a good row. You guys don't know if you planned that. That's good. Brother Neil Scroggins in the spring, Michael Frederick there in the summer, and then Dr. Bill Lovegrove, who's not able to be with us this morning. Dr. Lovegrove will teach, Lord willing, in the fall. Okay? You men may be seated. Thank you very, very much. If you're looking to return to your youth, there is a college and career class. And this is just so you know that... there's another Sunday school class, and no changes here. You can see the leadership. They'll actually be with us a couple of these next couple of weeks, but today, since they're already sort of in the right place, they're having their own Sunday school down the hill. But really grateful for those leaders, Brother Wigginton and Brother Nicholson, and our other. Other couples who help lead in that class, really appreciate them very much. Okay. I do want to say a word now about this box off to the left. We began in 2022 something we call the Foundations for Biblical Homes. This is a chance for a segment of the congregation to break away from their regular Sunday school classes for a period of time. This year, Lord willing, it'll be 12 weeks, to give some focused attention on some of the needs and opportunities of their stage in life. And so this year, again, we are focused on our newliest weds. Couples married starting in the years 2019 through December 2024, all right? So we have, we did have some people married just this past year. And so if you're in one of those, if you're in that category, we hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity. There are two parallel tracks. One of them begins in April and the other one begins in September. And if you're wondering why April, I'll give you the most significant reason for that, and that is so that all of us could spend some time integrating into our regular classes at the beginning of the year, and get a taste of the focus and start to knit together. And then once we're halfway or so through that, this module will begin. And it's parallel in track two. Some of you folks who are really good with dates are going to start counting the number of Lord's days in those two modules and think they made a mistake. They're actually 13 weeks. But the reason for that is that we have a cantata in the spring. Usually we don't have Sunday school on that day. And then we also will break for probably at least 1 week there in the fall. And so there's a 13-week spread in order to get 12 weeks in. That's the simple explanation for that. Really am thankful for the leadership of this class, Pastor Jones leading the class, Mrs. Linda Minnick helping and facilitating the ladies' sessions when those break out in the 12-week time frame. And this is a significant part, but just one part of our attempt for our men and women in particular roles to be able to receive instruction and have additional opportunity for fellowship. So if you are interested in this, and again, we hope you are, if you would do two things, and that is fill out the section at the bottom, like all of us will do, but also mark which of those tracks works for you. If both of them are feasible, I'd invite you to choose both of them. If one of them is significantly better than the other, please just indicate that. That will be fine. That all it tends to balance itself out. We do try to keep those relatively small and evenly balanced in their size. Okay, well, I've taken most of our time here in order to try to put information in your hands, and now the choice is yours. So you may be looking at this sheet and hearing the different classes and sizing up, okay, you know, where is this? It's very interesting. This is, Pastor Vincent told me this, you know, a while back, and I think it continues to be true. People choose Sunday school classes for an array of reasons, all right, or some combination thereof. That's okay. We expect that. But we do try to set up the classes in such a way so that there is some parity, so that because of our elders and deacons and the ministry that we hope to carry out in fellowship and one another ministry in these classes, we really, you know, don't want one of them to be 200 and another one of them to be 10. And so we trust the Lord for all of that, but we do. I take some delight when the classes sort of stay balanced. The choice is yours. We do need you to indicate a second choice. We almost always are able to honor a first choice, but just in case. And there's no pressure. But at a certain point, last year it was actually Sunday afternoon. No pressure. It was actually Sunday afternoon in one case. But at a certain point in time, relatively quickly, these rooms do have capacity, all right? And we don't let them get overly large. And so the choice is, you can still have your first choice, but you may be choosing from, you know, two or three instead of five classes. So I would encourage you not to be ponderous. Some of us are slow decision makers. I completely get that. but just realize that comes with implications in this case. But you may need to, you may be already texting people, what class? But you may need to confer and have a family meeting in between Sunday school and the morning service. I'll try to give you a little extra time to do that. That's completely fine. But in a moment, the ushers are going to come forward and collect any that are already filled out. You can, if you don't turn it in right away, completely understandable. I want you to be able to make the choice, wise choice that you want to make. But you can put it on a greeter station today. you can give it to me. You can hand it to Esther Neal. Esther, would you wave your hand? Esther will be around today, so appreciate all the work. If you want to know what really goes on in Sunday school organization, just talk to Esther. You can give her your form or contact the office this week. We will try to, within a week's time, try to get most of the responses. Past that, then, we will follow up. We do really intend for everyone who attends our church with any regularity to be part of a Sunday school class. And that is really important for us. So we'll follow up as needed. Okay, I said I would say it again. My notes reminded me to say it again. These classes start, Lord willing, in 3 weeks on February 9th. The next 2 weeks, we will be gathered together again here in the auditorium to hear some instruction about the divine theology of the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. Dr. Leighton Talbert will be teaching that. Really looking forward. You don't get too many chances to get really good teaching on the Song of Solomon. So I would encourage us to take advantage of that. Okay. Ushers, would you come and get those? I should have already had you come. You can just pass your form if it's completed. If it's not, absolutely no problem. But if you pass completed forms there, to the aisles. If you don't want anyone to know what you chose, you can fold it. You don't need to fold it, though. And I do appreciate, again, I don't know that announcements are anyone's favorite part of gathering together as the Lord's people, so an entire Sunday school, that's essentially an announcement. Thank you for your perseverance. And if I can answer any questions or be of help to you, I would really, really count it a privilege to do so. Okay. They did that pretty quickly. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful privilege of being together. We give again our year in Sunday school to you. Pray that you'd use it beyond what we could plan or expect. And we pray that even today we might be able to worship you in spirit and truth and delight in fellow saints. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.